What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 30. I am one of your joyful hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
Joyful is a strong word.
And Tyler.
I don't have a computer and my phone is half broken now. So how am I talking on? Well, I have to use my wife's computer now. So the disasters keep happening.
Don't you have a work computer too, though?
I do have a work computer, but I mean, I'm not the guy who like does that. I mean, I think it's weird to put like personal stuff on a work computer because at any point, like the work could say, yeah, we need this computer for some reason, or they could look through stuff. Not that I look on, you know, anything weird or anything, but I don't want my personal information on that computer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's probably for the best. We don't need your other fellow coworkers getting into OTN staff Discord stuff, right?
No, yeah, you would not want that at all.
We certainly don't want the kids getting on there and typing who knows what.
Exactly. So I prefer not to do. I mean, I do occasionally like check my like Gmail on there occasionally every once in a while, but I don't want like Facebook or, you know, students seeing a login to ESPN like every other day. Or weather.com or something. So, but yeah, so.
No, I mean, I totally get it. I have a work phone as well, a work computer as well. And the only thing I've really accessed from both of them is Gmail here and there, and then Google Drive. That's about it. I don't really want to touch anything else on there just because, like, at least for me, with it being like property of someone else, it just feels weird like doing other things or doing personal things on there. So I'm right there with you, T.
Thanks, man. Look at you fancy, you got a little work phone. Drew, do you have a work phone?
I do not have a work phone. I have a work computer, but I don't have a work phone.
I'll tell you what, it is not all cracked up to be what it sounds like.
Hey, if someone gave me a work phone, it's an I wouldn't Android. Have a personal phone.
Work phones are not fun. So when it was my personal phone, I was able to ignore calls at any hour of the night when I wanted. Now with it being a work phone, I'm required to answer the phone when people call if I'm around it. So
no one's there's calling definitely you.
Advantages and disadvantages. Well, emails I get a lot of. So now I get emails on my phone for work. So yeah, I just had two work calls actually before recording this podcast that I had to answer and help with.
Wow, man, you're such a busy
not
man.
Fun. It's really not that fun. And it's an Android phone, and I've learned that I hate Android phones after having one for like a month now. I just, not my type of thing.
Really, you know, it's worse than Android and really iPhone.
Yeah, I guess just, I don't know. I feel like the iPhone has been so much more user-friendly for me. I mean, you can argue I've had an iPhone for, it's got to be about 10 years at this point. And now coming really into an Android for 1 month, it's very, very different. But
Drew, what do you have?
I'll probably get used to it at some point. It's just not friendly with me.
Drew, what do you have?
I have a Google Pixel 3.
Nice. You know, you got to go with the Octane. That's what I have.
Have
and
no
for all you kids
is.
Who don't know what Octane is, go to Google, type in Octane phone, and you will find what it is. And you will have it since the seventh grade. Probably still have it.
Octane is actually...
This is the phone you had, probably the phone you had when I lived up there.
Oh, that's definitely is. Yeah, it's just not the same one, but the same model.
That was a decade ago.
The Octane.
All right, maybe 7 years ago.
Hey, you can get one used off eBay for $17.
My gosh.
That's
Speaking
mine, actually.
Of Octane.
That's mine.
Octane is the car I use in Rocket League, which has to deal with soccer. So we are going to talk Women's World Cup over in France for 2019 here. We do have the preliminary matches done, at least a few of them here. Results for USA-Spain, 2-1 in favor of USA. And on the opposite side, who now their contender, France, took down Brazil 2-1. Tyler, one of your teams is already out of this World Cup. Brazil, one of your finalists, is gone.
Yeah, I mean... They made a good run. The round of 16.
They made a good run.
I'm glad they made it.
Getting out of groups isn't always easy.
I'm glad they made it.
Oh my god!
I mean, France is a good team. They lost in PK. They lost in extra time. So it was a close game. But I mean, I expect the oui, Soccer Bleu to beat the US of A.
They are playing in Paris.
And they're playing in Paris, and they've shown. USA has finally shown some weakness, but the only way they're going to lose, USA is going to lose if they shoot themselves in the foot like they almost did with Spain. When they give the ball away like that, or they have a ridiculous set piece or a VAR call, that is what USA is going to be complaining and moaning and groaning about when it goes against them. Because it did go with them today, because it was a very soft penalty. If you saw the game, there's a very soft penalty. But before we get into any more details, I want to go into some trivia. You guys like trivia?
Let's do it.
All right. There's going to be five questions. First question. When was the first Women's World Cup? Women's World Cup. Joey? As my wife says, who cares? That's not an answer.
That's... Oof. Yikes, Jules. Let's see. Women's World Cup. 1972.
Oh, my gosh. Women didn't have the right to vote then, Joey, so that's not...
Well, they were playing soccer overseas,
no,
right?
No, they weren't. Women were still in the house then. They never left the house.
Dang. This is getting borderline already.
It's true. It's
no,
true.
It is. It's factual. Speaking of facts, Drew.
What do you think, Drew?
Let's go with 83.
Both of you are way off. 1991 was the first Women's World Cup.
Wow, it really was that late. Okay.
I was thinking it was a little earlier than that because I know the U.S. won pretty early on.
They did. They won the 91 World Cup. Now, do you know where it was located?
Let's say the U.S.
Do you want me to give you A, B, C, D? Is this better if I give you A, B, C, D?
No.
Okay.
No, it's more fun to make us just guess.
Whew. 10 seconds. First one.
Episode's going
to
end.
How big? You want us to go country or you want us to go continent?
Country.
I'm going to go with Greece.
Wow.
I'm going to say France.
Okay, they're still building probably Greece then. France.
Still building Greece.
France is nowhere near on the map for women to play soccer. I don't even think they had a team then. It's actually Trump's favorite place. China was the first Women's World Cup.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
So, and USA won on a score of 2-1 against the Norwegians of Norway. Mm-hmm. So,
the fighting Norwegians.
Fancy that.
Now, this is a true or false question. Okay, makes the life a little easier for you. The USA has all in the last set. There's been a total of 7 World Cups from 91 to, except for of course, 2019. In the last 7 World Cups, the women's USA team have always made the semifinals. True or false?
I'm going to go with false.
I'm going to go... I don't know. I want to say false, too.
Well, both of you are wrong. It's true. They've made the semifinals every single year.
I know they've never lost in the round of 16 because they were talking about that today. But that made me think that they must have lost in the quarters. Huh.
They are going to lose in the quarters on Friday. So don't, you know, hold your breath for that one. All right. And then the last question is, who is the leading goal scorer in a World Cup? So in all the World Cups, who's the leading goal scorer?
Like in a single World Cup or total?
And
total,
are we talking total. Women's and men's or just women's?
Just women's.
Let's go with that. The women's edition. I'm going to go with Rapinoe.
Rapinoe?
Yeah, depending on who the commentator
is. Yeah, I know. I heard that a couple of times. I was like, Rapinoe? What the heck are they talking about?
Yeah, the British guy says Rapinoe, and then the American guy says Rapinoe.
Wouldn't, like, the English guy take a hint?
They're English. They think they're doing everything right. Joey, what's your answer?
It's probably a USA player, but I'll go outside of the U.S. just for the heck of it. I'm going to go with Marta.
Marta is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Marta has 17 goals. The next one is from Germany, Bridget Prinz. I don't know. Let me talk to my German comrade over here. How would you pronounce P-R-I-N-Z? Prinz.
Prinz.
Prinz. Prinz. Prinz. And then the first name is B-I-R-G-I-T.
Brigitte.
Yeah.
Brigitte. Bridget Prince. So Bridget Prince and Abby Wambach, both have 14. Marta has 17.
Now, Marta's retired at this point, though, right?
She is pretty much, well, most likely, yeah, she's done. She scored.
I think last World Cup was her last.
There's a correction with the Bridget. It's Brigitte.
It's That's what Brigitte. I said, Brigitte.
Like Drew said, so. Brigitte.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, frigate. Brigitte.
So that does square us up for USA, France. I'm going to take USA, but again, I think the winner of this matchup does go on to win this World Cup, whether it be USA, whether it be France. I do think they're going to go on, and I think they'll probably play up against Germany. But I'm going to take USA over France. Tyler, are you still sticking with... Well, you can't stick with Brazil anymore.
I'm taking the field.
So you're taking France?
I'm taking the field. I'm taking the field. You can take USA. It's like the Warriors in the NBA. I'm taking the field on this one. Anybody but USA, that's who I think is going to win. It could be the Germans. It could be the... not the Swedes. It could be the Norwegians. But, I mean, at this point, it's got to be on the other side of the bracket, the Germans, if France doesn't do it. So that's my guess. Either way, we're probably going to have a party here watching the Women's World Cup and the Copa America final. So, whether it's
good
USA
times.
Or not.
Exciting stuff. On the other side of the USA side of the bracket, we have Norway tying Australia 1-1, but Norway advances on penalties in a 4-1 penalty shootout. And England wins 3-0 over Cameroon, moving them on as well. Norway-England, I think, is going to be an exciting matchup. I'm going to take England in this one. I think they'll actually win out about 3-1, maybe 2-1. Norway's a talented team, but England has really stepped it up in recent years.
I'm excited to see England make the finals. If France doesn't. Just saying.
And if they don't, I'm guessing Norway will?
Yeah. Duh.
Okay, no, Drew. England. So Tyler's playing the field here in every matchup. What are you playing in Norway-England?
I'm probably thinking England. I don't know enough about the teams to really make a pick there for sure. I saw how much of a struggle that Norway game was, though. So just seems like England. And then on the other side, I'm still going with the U.S., but they definitely scared me today. I actually had the game up while I was at work. The penalty they called was definitely a little soft. But that was the first thing that ref had really called all game, and don't know how the yellow card hadn't come out of her pocket earlier already. So I think there was some makeup call in that call. But yeah, the U.S. just didn't look correct. And I think coach is going to have a word with them and kind of refocus them. They've got to stay more disciplined than they were. I think they got spoiled on being able to just run it down anyone's throat that they felt like and forgot that they have to actually play correct soccer to be successful here.
Yeah, that penalty kick was as soft as a pound cake coming out of an oven. I mean, if they didn't have VAR, you're not calling that. I can
guarantee. She called it before VAR was signaled. So
referees now, I can tell you right now, referees now go in a mentality, and I'm sure they're told this, they go in a mentality of like, hey, you can double check yourself.
That's true. And better to call it and then check.
And so,
than...
you know, like when you're out in the field, when you're actually a referee, like you're doing U15 boys or, you know, girls or even adult matches, there is a split second decision. And now that everything is under review, it's almost like, oh, well, I can check it if I want to.
Yeah.
You know, it was certain calls, whether it be PKs or whether it be goals or offsides. I mean, that is, it's a relief, but it is a stressor because we've already seen a couple times where, I mean, you look at Cameroon game, I don't know what they're complaining about, but, or what, you know, whatever game it was, but every single time we've had a game, there's a VAR discussion, a VAR discussion, the Darth Vader discussion. We need a nickname for VAR. I don't like VAR. Can you guys think of a different nickname?
Siri.
okay.
But well, I do want to interrupt you for a second and ask you. So the Cameroon players were really upset about several of those calls. I haven't looked. Were those calls incorrect or did they make the right calls based off of the VAR?
And that's something I had to look back as well. I don't know. I mean, okay. I don't think they've ever had to deal. And I hate to say it. I think America has been accustomed to now review, but these countries which don't have the ability, the tech to do it, they think this like this is an abomination of like, are you kidding me? Like, since when? Since since when can you overturn something when a referee called? That's where they're coming from. Like, it's literally it's a pickup basketball game, and you get fouled.
Just roll with it.
And yeah, you roll with it. You're like, yeah, whatever. Now we're literally taking a pickup basketball game and saying, like, you know what? No, we have to take foul shots now, or the ball is out of bounds, or, you know. And so these players are irate because they've never had to do this before. But the American, the Germans, the French, these you call them first world countries, are now like, all right, we accept it as part of the rules. But these countries which have no idea, third world countries which have no idea, you know, what to think when a referee says, oh, no, it's the other way around. It's
especially
crazy.
It happens a couple times a game. And I think where I'm still frustrated with it, even though it you know, worked for the USA today, but in general, is the same issue I have in a lot of other sports where they take so long. And it was 6.5 minutes from when the penalty was called and then when she got to actually take the shot. Like, it needs to be that you look at the replay and it's either clear what it was or it's unclear and you stick with what you called. That's what replay is supposed to be for. And this idea of staring at it for so long just doesn't work. And that's why you need to have a timer and a you know, a limit on how long you can look at it. And
or you just take it out all completely.
And I don't think it's ever going to come out completely now that it's a thing and that it exists. I don't think
that's the answer either, to be honest. I mean, I feel like you got to find a hybrid between the two. Like, I like when soccer does it with like almost like a heat version of the ball, whether it passed the goal line. Those are the kind of calls I like this technology for, where it's quick, it's easy, and it's more heat related, heat signature related more than anything. Did the ball cross all the way over? Is it a goal? And we've seen goals called back on that, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think the technology makes sense there. Even offsides. Offsides probably cost Man City, my European team, a Champions Cup championship, really, overall. They lost on an offsides call because Aguero's leg hair was too long that day. So when it comes down to it, I'm okay with that, though. It makes sense. He was offsides by a hair, a fraction of a hair, and it worked. I think offsides, I think goal, that's where you do these things. I don't think we need it for penalties, for offside, or even handballs. I feel like handballs should be the discretion of the referee at this point. I mean, soccer has so much history with that as well. I feel like allow the referee to do fouls, allow him to do even handballs or penalties in the box. But when it comes down to if the ball actually passed the goal line, and certain offsides calls, I think, are the ways to use it, in my personal opinion.
And Tyler, I have another question for you regarding that PK. When they, forgive my lack of soccer terminology here, when they spray the white spot on the ground for the kick, the ball just has to be touching the white, correct?
Correct, yeah, it just has to be touching the white. You're talking like for a penalty kick, correct?
Yeah, because the referee today seemed to not be happy with where Rapinoe had put the ball, even though it was touching the white each time she set it down, until finally she put it right in the middle of it, and then the ref seemed happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be touching it. I mean, but clearly, I mean, and to me, it shouldn't be that big of a deal for it. I mean, the fields are perfect. Whether you put it 6 inches in front, behind, to left, to the right, the field, there's usually, it becomes problematic, like, on a grass field in nowhere, Virginia, and it's a cow pasture, and, you know, there's a bunch of bumps and stuff. But here, you know, Rapinoe, you don't want to be difficult. Just put the ball down. It's not that hard. These fields are
right, when she had it down, but she did not like where she had it, and she kept making her move it until finally she just put it in the middle of the white, and then she was okay with it. I just didn't understand what the issue was, because it was touching, but I guess it wasn't touching where the ref wanted it to be touching. I don't know.
And yeah, and that's just you know, referee wants to say, hey, you got to put it there, you got to put it there. It's the referee's the law there.
Yeah.
But I like Joey, you know, offsides and whether it's a goal or not, I think is two things that I think you can definitely do for replay, but it's just becoming absurd with these penalty kicks and checking,
too much.
And checking and checking and checking, because you can look, I mean, as you looked at it more often, you know, you could almost sway either way. Yeah, I don't think she got touched.
Right. Her foot, the Spanish girl's foot looked like it bent, but the American girl's leg didn't move like exactly. It got hit. So it was like, was that just her bending her foot then? What was happening yeah. there? And it wasn't clear enough to say one way or the other, and so she stuck with what she called.
Exactly. And so,
but she could have looked at that once and been able to tell that.
Oh, yeah. We looked at it once, but, you know, you have 15 different angles you have to look at, unfortunately. And you have to say, okay, did I second guess myself? What part of the game am I in? Because, yeah, if imagine if they had not gone with that PK and said, all right, drop ball, like, missed the whistle, that would have wasted. I mean, it killed time for both teams, but it hurt Spain the worst because not only are you now, down a goal, but now you're down against the clock, and there's no way you're getting that back. There's
right.
no
well,
way
they
you're
did put seven on.
They put 7 minutes, but I mean, think of all the injuries. Think of all the substitutions. I mean,
right.
One, yes, you know, and I'm sure you could calculate the amount of times when the ball is out of play. It's 10, 15 minutes you could rack up, even with injuries that you could be adding. So,
for sure.
it
is absurdly long.
Yeah, it's absurd. So
I mean, it's usually like 5 max. I feel like in a lot of these tournaments, it's very, very rare unless there's a very serious injury on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw one with 9.
Was it a serious injury or VAR technology involved?
I think it was just injury after injury. Yeah. Maybe a VAR in between. So yeah.
Since VAR, I feel like the time has definitely been extended.
Yeah, and that's good because, I mean, it needs to be. But it still takes away from it takes the referee out of the game.
Right. He becomes a figurehead more than a decision maker.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a law anymore. It's VAR's law.
Yeah, not a fan. I think we leave most of the decisions back to the referee, give him the ability to call on these fouls, on these penalties even. Then you use VAR for offsides calls and you use it for goal line, just as confirmation more than anything. Don't even use it to overturn, just confirmation. Was this a goal? If not, why? Just on those two things. I think that's the way you use it, in my opinion. And we'll have to see which way soccer goes. Germany did take a 3-0 win over Nigeria, though. Sweden 1-0 over Canada. That sets us up for a spicy matchup in the quarters between Germany and Sweden. I will be going with the Germans in this one. Tyler.
The Germans. This has the prestigious to everything, and they will demolish the Swedes, Swedish meatballs as they are. Buffalo Bills update. So last week we talked about a wedding that everyone's invited to as long as you have a ticket to the game. But you and your fiance, for all those people who are engaged, could have the wedding of their life at Orchard Park in New Era Field. This year the Buffalo Bills are hosting a tie the knot event during halftime during the New England Patriots and Buffalo Bills matchup in Orchard Park, New York. It's during the halftime of the Buffalo Bills. It's through the halftime wedding experience of a lifetime. You want more information? Come check out the OTN network or the Buffalo Bills website.
Yeah, not
our network. It'll remain open until July 7th.
Okay, of all the games to put this during, why would you put it with a Patriots game? A game you're probably going to get smashed during.
Yeah, you got to celebrate joyous occasions.
That's their big
rivalry. I guess. Is that like to hopefully put a smile back on your face after the first half of thrashing?
No one, I mean, once you're married, you don't care about anything else. It's the happiest day of your life. It doesn't matter.
My gosh.
we're all married here. I think we can all agree, you know, it's one of the happiest days.
Good. So they can forget
right now,
one
like,
of
no.
those losses to the Patriots. I feel like if I'm going to put this during a game, I'm going to put it against a team we probably have a better chance against. That way, everyone's really happy and hyped up during this ceremony. I feel like doing it during a Patriots game, you're going to end up with a ton of depressed fans all around potentially as well.
All right, let's do it during the Washington Redskins November 3rd.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I think there's a lot higher possibility of winning that game.
Or the New York Jets. December 29th.
Not bad. I think
December
that one could 29th. Be tight, but yeah.
Be a snowy
Yeah, I think there's definitely
day.
Better games than a Patriots game. And you're already going to sell tickets to Patriots games anyway. Like, make it exciting for one of those games that people might not care as much about. Then again, the Bills always show up. They're hungry for victories wherever they can get them. So I feel like, I don't know, it just would not have been my matchup of choice, but I do think it's a fun, unique idea coming out from the Bills.
My wife just asked, who would want to get married in Buffalo?
Amen, sister.
Gosh. Hey, if we weren't married, we might have done. I might have signed us up for this contest.
Oh my God!
And then she would have said no if they had called.
And she said she'd probably marry someone else.
Marrying into the Bills Mafia.
Yeah. Leo is already initiated into the Bills Mafia. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Drew. Back to Germany, Sweden. Who are you taking in that matchup?
Oh, the Germans, of course.
Beautiful.
I've got them still going all the way to the final.
And that'll leave us with two matchups left on the board, and that is Italy, China. We have not seen the People's Republic of China face Italy yet. That's going to happen on the 25th of June, which is tomorrow. We're recording this on Monday. And then we have Netherlands up against Japan. I am going to take Italy and the Netherlands respectively in these ones. Drew?
I am taking Italy and Japan.
Yeah, I got the Japanese and the Italians. Actually, no, China. China is really good. It's going to be an Asian quarterfinal.
Okay. China, Japan, I like it. I'm going to take the Europeans in Europe, though, for this one.
China's good. Italy's not.
No, I mean, Italy, I feel like all four of these teams, to be honest, have left a lot to be desired in my book. I don't see any of them making it past Germany, or even Sweden, for that matter. Yeah, I think USA / France with Germany. I'm going to go USA-Germany for the final still. France as my wild card. If they end up beating USA, I think they will beat Germany as well. Drew, are you changing anything from your prediction last week? I want to say you were USA-Germany or Italy, if I remember correctly.
That was USA-Germany, and nope, I'm sticking with it.
And Tyler, you were Brazil up against someone.
The Germans.
And you're just playing the field, right? Playing the field.
Das Deutschland. That, no, it's not it.
I like it. I like it. A little bit of time left in the podcast. Let's slip on over and keep this soccer specific, but we'll go over to the Gold Cup. Drew, what are your thoughts on the Gold Cup so far this season?
So far, it's been interesting. I've mostly just paid attention to the U.S. team. You know, young team, new coach, lots of changes happening. A good chance to really get to see them in action after some of those friendlies that they looked less than stellar. But they had folks who were injured or just not playing, you know, to preserve them and keep them from being injured. That being said, I've really enjoyed what I've seen out of them. I am cautiously optimistic about the direction that U.S. soccer is heading. I've enjoyed getting to see some of the potential come through, especially later in games. They've not started too hot, but I feel like that's kind of been the U.S. men for quite a while. So I'm going to be excited to get out of the groups, and I'll probably pay a little more attention to some of the other games at that point, just because I don't like any of the other teams. When I get into other tournaments, I don't have a lot of allegiances, so it's easier for me to watch other teams, because I always like to cheer for somebody, and with all these Gold Cup games, I'm cheering against everyone. So it's hard for me to put in the time and effort to watch them because someone's probably going to win and I'm not going to be happy no matter what.
And they're so freaking late. It's like starting 9 o'clock. That too. What the heck?
Yeah, that too.
That's my bedtime. Even though I end up staying up.
I stayed up for the U.S. one, and that one was, I was really tired after that, but it was worth staying up for.
Yeah, I mean, they still have a lot to prove. 6-0 means nothing against Trinidad and Tobago. That's what they should do to them every single year, but Trinidad and Tobago just completely fell apart after the second goal. They're total confusion, total exodus when it came to third, fourth, fifth, sixth goal that USA scored. They just were not even trying at that point.
Well, they warmed down.
They warmed down, and they literally, I mean, Trinidad just gave up, in my opinion. So, to me, Panama will be a test. But they really won't get tested until they get to the quarterfinal or semifinal match, whoever that is. So,
yeah,
I mean, they better put on the same performance as they did against Trinidad and Tobago against Panama and then continue that. But just from what they have, what I've seen when they played Jamaica in the international friendly or Venezuela, it's crazy how good Bradley is Polshik, the other veterans, Morris, Zardes, none of those players played in any of the friendlies. And to see how they were able to get it together and work with the system and play that 4-3-3 is to me very, very exciting. I don't like how you play back with a goalkeeper. I mean, that's not my goalkeepers are to save, not to play with his feet. But besides that, I'm happy in the direction that they're going. So I am optimistic. And to me, to be honest, if they don't get to the finals, then we're not looking good for the coming years.
So you think we're good enough to make the finals?
Absolutely.
As we are. Okay. I think that, but I don't know anything. So it's okay if I'm incorrect.
Yes.
I mean, we have the talent there. I feel like the manager still needs to get stuff together, I would say. Some of the formations he's tried out, some of the players even, they just have not meshed as cleanly as they should at this level. With the amount of talent the U.S. has, we should be able to make a final. But again, if we're playing funky formations like Spanish soccer without a false nine, it's not going to work as cleanly. We went to a game up at Audi Field a couple weeks ago, and just they were playing such Spanish-style soccer. Like Tyler said, the goalkeeper was playing with his feet. The center backs were really passing a lot back and forth. It works if you're playing something like a false nine, but they kept passing to the false nine position and there was no one there. They turned the ball over, I think I counted 9 times in that game in that freaking position because they did not have a player there. There was just so much miscommunication all over the board. Obviously, the players in the Gold Cup here are different than the players we saw at that. That was not your first string team in most cases, but there's just a lot of inner workings that I feel like this manager still needs to get together with the USA. The talent is there. I don't know if tactically speaking or really even like the way they work together as far as a team, I don't know if that chemistry is quite there yet either.
Which what? He's been the coach for what? 6 months?
It's not been very long.
Yeah. 2 months. Yeah. So, and it's not, surprising then, if I may, that they don't have that full mastery of his system and what he wants to do, and that they don't have that meshing together, especially like you said, with them not really playing in those friendlies. Is that correct?
Correct. And I mean, okay. Soccer in general, you really don't have that many international breaks broken in either because the seasons are so long and so demanding. There's only, I want to say there's like 2 or 3 international breaks, or it's got to be 3 broken through throughout the year, at least in like the EPL and the German league and all these other major leagues in Europe. So it's understandable. At the same point, I want to see these players start to adapt it more. I want to see a little bit more fluidity and tactics as well. I mean, when you're making dumb passes to a player that doesn't even exist, there's got to be some kind of issue going on there. So at least more communication between the players, and the manager needs to at least somehow explain his tactics more to these players so we're not just passing to no one.
Yeah.
Okay, so groups overall, we have Mexico 3-0, Canada 2-0 in first and second of Group A, with Martinique and Cuba below that in 3 and 4. Group B, we have Costa Rica and Haiti at 2-0. Yeah, Group 1 is done. That is Mexico and Canada advancing. The rest of the groups are not done yet. Group B has Costa Rica and Haiti currently at 2-0 for both of those. 1 and 2 respectively there, with Costa Rica over on goal differential by 2. And then Bermuda and Nicaragua following suit. I think Costa Rica and Haiti will probably advance in that one. Group C, yeah, Jamaica. Go ahead, Drew.
I was going to say, the other two have already played. So it is definitely Costa Rica and Haiti. It's just a matter of who comes out on top.
Oh, right.
Which,
yeah.
Which they're playing right now. Yeah. So if it ends in a draw, then Costa Rica is going to end up on top because of goal differential. But
Costa Rica is going to move on in first.
Yeah. So.
Costa Rica is a much better team in most cases.
All right, the last two groups, they haven't played their third games yet. So, continue.
And Group C, kicking it off, is Jamaica. I think Jamaica is pretty cleanly going to move on here. They're currently 1 win, 1 draw. El Salvador right behind them at 1 win, 1 draw as well. Goal differential not in favor. It's 1-1 currently tied up between those two. And then we have Curacao. I think there's a helicopter flying over my apartment. Curacao and Honduras sitting in Curacao. Third and fourth, respectively. Curacao, excuse me. Curacao currently at 1-0-1, 1 win, 1 loss. Honduras not looking too hot, currently sitting at 2 losses. Honduras is a gritty team. They're a team that usually does pretty well in the Gold Cup, not looking too hot this time. It is looking like, I would say Jamaica is going to advance, and I don't know who the second team will be. I would not be surprised if El Salvador holds their spot.
Agreed. I don't know what those matchups are, though. I haven't looked at that.
It's a coin flip.
Probably.
Coin flip.
We'll get excited during the quarterfinals next week.
I think that'll definitely spice things up more.
Always.
And that brings us down to Group D, the final group. The group of death, potentially. We have USA in first, 2-0 currently, with a 10-goal differential. Panama sitting in second with a 4-goal differential and 2 wins. I don't know how to pronounce this one either, Drew. You want to take this third one away? Is it Guyana?
Guyana, yeah. Guyana or Guyana, just depending on who you ask.
We're going to go Guyana, if you ask me. And they are sitting at 0-2. They're at a -6-goal differential. And Trinidad and Tobago sitting at a -8-goal differential in last place at 0-2. So not looking too clean. It's probably going to be USA-Panama in here. Obviously, games still to be played, but I think it's decided at this point with both other teams having 2 losses.
Yep, again, it's going to come down to that US-Panama game and what happens there, which is going to be, I think, interesting to see what is our coach's name? Bernheiser? Bernholder?
Never Bernholzer? Been able to pronounce it.
Bernadette?
We'll call him Bernadette. Let's call him Coach Bernie.
I'm wondering if what Bernie's going to do, if he's going to try to give some of his guys more rest since they're through no matter how this game plays out, or if he's going to let them all play to keep trying to establish that rhythm together, and maybe he just subs a little earlier than usual. Because he doesn't really have to play to win. I mean, you want that attitude, obviously, with your guys, but he doesn't have to be ruthless and cutthroat with his decision-making. He can rest some guys, and I'm curious if that's going to happen or if he wants to keep that rhythm.
I think he keep the rhythm here. Panama, they haven't really had much competition yet, and a team like Panama brings more competition to the table. I feel like that's the team you really want to test yourself up against. Maybe you sub one or two players, but you really want the full squad facing an actual team. No offense to Trinidad and Tobago or Guyana, but they really don't have the caliber of a team like a Panama, like a Jamaica, like a Costa Rica, like a Mexico. You want to face up against these bigger teams to really see how you match up. So in my opinion, you play pretty much close to your full squad.
Yeah, they're not going to pull like a Jamaica or Venezuela team out there. They're definitely going to play, but they definitely have that option to try something different and see what they can do against Panama. I mean, you're exactly right with the fact that they can do pretty much what they continue to be doing or kind of play it safe. And the way I've seen USA play is they don't play it safe. They want to go right for the throat, which is good. It's a good mentality to have. And so I hope they do that and continue to be successful.
Sweet. So exciting stuff there. We will be breaking down what the bracket stage looks like come next week. I, for one, am excited, though. We get USA Soccer on the women's side and the men's side, both teams playing really well so far through groups. I'm excited to see it continue on with that USA Women's versus France. It should be really exciting, especially with Tyler's Brazil already out of the running.
Poor Marta.
With that, feel free to tweet any questions.
She has some
comments,
crazy lipstick.
Concerns.
I don't know if anyone saw her lipstick.
Is she even still playing? I thought she was retired.
I mean, she just retired, but like she looked like she was going to prom. And that's what most Brazilians have, is like they're going to prom, but they're playing soccer. She had this massive lipstick, like voluminous lips of chapstick slash lipstick.
Good times. So if you want to check out Marta's lips, you can do so on Twitter at CAMB Podcast. Maybe Tyler will post them up there. You can also email any comments, questions, concerns, anything like that to us as well. CAMBpodcast@otnmedia.org. Last but not least, if you like what we do here on the show and at OTN in general, check out our community on Discord as well as Patreon, patreon.com/OTN. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
She's going to get a lot of Avalon commercials.
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.